bring in the heat. We are bringing the fire. On the program today, we've got AFL football, Friday Night Lights, Geelong versus Sydney from Simmons Stadium. We've got UFC, John Bones Jones knocks out Daniel Cormier, pound for pound number one. And we've got NBA, Kyrie Irving. What is going on with him now? This is No Holds Barred. What a show we got today. It is action-packed. Hoops, AFL action, and UFC. John Jones back on top over there after a delay, or a bit of a sabbatical, I guess, with legal and drug issues over there. But Jones, back on top, UFC. In saying that, we're going to start today's show with Australian rules football. Yes, the AFL, it is Friday Night Lights tonight down there at Simmons Stadium. The Geelong Cats up against the Sydney Swans in another blockbuster. AFL organisers will be absolutely loving this. The Friday night fixture really is the showcase of the weekend's matches, and they have been getting some tantalising matchups over the last month, and this one is the same. It comes in that blockbuster category, Cats versus Swans. A bit on the line, second position Geelong, and Sydney sixth position after going down last week to Hawthorn again in the Friday night fixture there. It was a great game last week, very defensive. A very defensive game. There was not much in it throughout the entire contest. And Hawthorn inflicted the Sydney second loss in the last 12 matches. In fact, they're 10-2, 10 wins, 2 losses in their last 12. Both losses coming to the Hawks. And they've really got their work cut out for them tonight. Travelling down to Simmons Stadium, the fortress down there that Geelong play at. They have an incredible record down there, and they're going to start favourites in this one. News during the week, Patrick Dangerfield out, suspended. The media were going ballistic over this throughout the week. Obviously ineligible now for the Brownlow medal for our American viewers or American listeners. The Brownlow medal is basically the MVP of the league. And Patrick Dangerfield was suspended basically for rough play during the week with a tackle. And he's been suspended for a week. So he's ineligible to win that medal. So he's ineligible to win the MVP, even if he is the best player and polls the most votes. So a bit of controversy there. But if you do the crime, you've got to do the time. And I think the result overall was consistent with some of these sling tackles that have been going on. He tackled big ruckman Matthew Cruiser. Cruiser stands probably about 6 foot seven and 110 kilograms, or 250, 260 pounds in the American metrics, and he hit his head on the ground. Was a little bit was semi unconscious. Had to go off the field and had a bit of concussion. So yeah, when it was all said and done, Dangerfield was definitely going to be under the pump to try and escape that. And he is out tonight, so no Dangerfield. They're going to lose plenty in the midfield there and in the forward line, Geelong. But their list is absolutely loaded. And Sydney are definitely going to have their work cut out for them. Sydney done a remarkable job. As I said, started 0-6 at the start of the season. So for them to be in sixth position, they must win tonight to keep their top four hopes alive. And, you know, Geelong, entrenched in second position. They had a soft win last week against Carlton, against the Blues. They were just bigger physically. They were able to push the Blues around. The Blues have a lot of youngsters that are coming through the ranks. And Coach Brendan Bolton getting a lot of games into the Blues. They've been somewhat competitive this year, but last week was a mismatch. And Geelong really flexed their muscle, and the bigger bodies and the more mature players had their way. Tonight, it's not going to be that way. I expect a physical clash with the Sydney Swans, and this one shapes to be a beauty. Look at big Tom Hawkins down there at centre-half forward for the Cats. He kicked 6 goals last week, was moving exceptionally well, the best he's moved in quite a long time, the big man. Hawkins to have an impact tonight, and Buddy Franklin at centre-half forward for the Sydney Swans. The two big centre-half forwards will go a long way to deciding who wins this contest tonight. Interesting one here. The ground at Simmons Stadium, a little bit smaller ground than the MCG. It's probably similar dimensions to the SCG where the Swans play their home game. So in terms of the bigger ground, I think the Swans play the smaller grounds a little bit better. It's a little bit more up and under, more of a physical contest. So Geelong down there at Simmons, I think this has the potential to be an explosive contest with plenty of physicality and high octane contest. So this one should be a ripper. I'm picking Geelong to get over the line in a tight one. But second versus six, Friday Night Lights will be an absolute ripper. If you're in Australia, you need to be tuning in, because they don't get any bigger than this one right now, especially this time of the year. The other game I want to talk about, which is going on over the weekend, Richmond versus Hawthorn. Hawthorn defeated Sydney last week in a tight contest, keeping their finals hopes alive. Coach Alistair Clarkson has done a remarkable job with the playing group here. He's got them playing together, and they've got a bit of belief at the moment. And, Richmond sitting in fourth position, they want to hammer home the double chance here by finishing top four. So a bit on the line with this one too. Richmond and Hawthorn, this one should be a beauty. I'm expecting a really fierce contest here. I'm gonna pick the upset. I'm gonna pick Hawthorn to get the job over Richmond. Richmond have their forward line pressure has been absolutely incredible. They are rating the most tackles inside the forward 50, inside their own forward 50 throughout the competition, and they're going to continue to run with this style. Hawthorn have lost captain Luke Hodge. He's out, suspended during the week as well. That's a huge loss for them. But I'm going to pick Hawthorn to really find a way here. I'm expecting Clarkson to pull a rabbit out of the hat. If Hawthorn lose this game, they're done and dusted. Their season is over. So this is another one of those contests where it's an 8-point swing. Richmond want to hammer home the advantage and consolidate that top four position. And Hawthorn, they want to keep their chances alive. So it will be an absolute ripping game. The other topic there I want to speak on, the Dustin Martin contract issues, still yet to sign a contract. It can't be healthy for the Richmond Football Club or the playing list. It hasn't affected them so far. They seem to be playing good enough footy to remain in the top half of the ladder there, in the top half of the eight. But all kinds of speculation that, Martin, wanting more money, I believe he's probably going to hold out now. He's the Brownlow Medal, or for our American listeners, the MVP favourite after Dangerfield is out suspended during the week. So his odds have even shortened to win football's most coveted prize, the Brownlow Medal. So there's been rumours that his management are holding out now till later on the year, because his stock's only going to go up even more by winning the Brownlow Medal. But Richmond, one of the biggest clubs in Australia, especially when they're up and running and they're going well, which right now they are. They have been, in the doldrums and out of premiership contention for about 20, 25 years now, or even longer, probably going on 30 years. So for them to be in fourth position, it'll be, I think it'd be crazy for Dustin Martin to leave Richmond. He's obviously their most important piece, but there is speculation that North Melbourne are a side that that he is considering, and there is talk of the Gold Coast up north as well. But I think Martin would be wise to stay at Richmond, sign the contract, commit your future there. He's going to make plenty of money off the ground as well, just with endorsements and sponsorships and being the face of the franchise and of the club. So it can't be healthy. But Richmond versus Hawthorn should be a beauty. I'm picking the Hawks to cause the upset there. This is no holds barred. Dustin Martin, jeez, signed the deal already. God, he's going to get $1 million to $1.1 million. He's going to make more at Richmond off the field than he will anywhere else. Anyway, they're finding a way. They are finding a way. But I think it'll catch up with them. I really do. In saying that, we're going to segue on to some UFC. The Ultimate Fighting Championship last weekend had a marquee fight. John Bones Jones and Daniel Cormier hit the octagon and they put on a show. Well, at least it was a show until Bones Jones knocked out Cormier. It started with a kick to the head, which stunned Cormier, and then after that, it was a sitting duck, because when John Bones Jones gets you in that situation, he's an absolute killer. And Cormier felt the wrath, and John Bones Jones sits back atop the sport of the UFC, of the Ultimate Fighting World, the Ultimate Fighting Championship, and with the Mayweather and McGregor circus that's going on, it was good to get an actual legitimate fight between Jones and Cormier. Something that is actually real, tangible, realistic, that is respectful to the sport. As the Mayweather versus McGregor is basically, it's just a money grab. It's just a cash grab, and McGregor is selling his soul, and he's basically a used car salesman, the way he's carrying on. Now, it's going to be entertaining, but, you know, there are other things that are entertaining as well, such as, well, the World Wrestling Entertainment's entertaining, but it's not real, and we know that. We know it's not real. And the Mayweather-McGregor bout, it just seems to be not real. Mayweather has absolutely no chance to really lose the fight. Everything's on his terms. And, you know, McGregor's going to have his work seriously cut out for him, but he's going to make a lot of money. Where on the weekend, the Bones Jones versus Cormier bout, it was totally real. It was the Ultimate Fighting Championship back, better than ever. Two world-class combat fighters in the octagon, trying to punch the absolute crap out of each other, and I loved every minute of it. And no surprise that Bones Jones gets the victory here. Cormier, a really impressive record as well, nonetheless. And, you know, the fight was pretty tight until that kick to the head of Cormier, which really, you know, really dazed him and rocked him. And then as from there, as I said, Jones is an absolute assassin in that situation. You know, Jones, he looked good. He's been out of the sport for a while now, a good couple of years with legal issues that revolved around a hit and run accident, and then he had some drug issues. I believe it was some tested positive to drugs. I think it was a cocaine positive test, something along those lines. But he's back, and it's great because the UFC need a superstar outside of Conor McGregor to help carry the load. While McGregor goes off in his drifts away onto his circus act and his circus show with Mayweather, it was good to get some real UFC hustle and bustle, some real contact, some real combat sports, and the fight lived up to the hype, which was fantastic. John Bones Jones, he really reminds me and moves similar to the great Brazilian champion Anderson Silva. He's basically just a heavier version of Silva. The way he the creativity, the sleekness, and he's very, very clinical. He punishes mistakes the same as Anderson Silva, and both fighters technically, so good, technically superior to the majority of the guys that they come up against. Cormier, his skill set is obviously a little bit shorter, built a little bit differently. He's a little bit more of a banger, and he was found wanting against the class of Jones. And where does Jones go from here? Straight after the fight, he called out Brock Lesnar. Now, this is one that is probably going to create a little bit of momentum, and I think it's one that will do very well. I think it's one the fans want to see. Brock Lesnar, he's a showstopper. He's a former champion of the UFC. We all know what he did in the WWE with his wrestling, and if he wants to get back in the ring, I think this is one that combat sports fans would like to see. Bones Jones versus Brock Lesnar. I think that's the obvious matchup. And, plenty of star power there. And I think it's one that, would bring plenty of value. So I think the quicker that they can get this fight organized, the better. Because that is one to definitely see while the up until the McGregor and Mayweather circus act is complete on August 26th. So, Bones Jones and Brock Lesnar, that's going to be the one that you hear when it comes to the UFC, and I think they're onto a winner wear with that one. Dana White needs to get it done, get that matchup locked away. I think that is a marquee matchup that will sell plenty of tickets and will have plenty of eyeballs on it to see who comes out on top. There'll be plenty of hype behind that one there. But really impressed with the way Jones carries himself off the out of the octagon as well. He was very respectful. He speaks very well. There's no thuggish kind of behaviour or outlandish talk. He just gets in the ring, does the job with the fists, and gets on with it. And, as we go along here, you've really got to... You can't take anything away from Jones. He was considered the best fighter on the planet before he had the title stripped off him. He got into his legal problems and his drug complications, and now he's come back and he's knocked out Daniel Cormier, who, is one of the best fighters in the world. There's no doubt about that. And Jones wins convincingly. So, it's just so super impressive. And you've got to give full credit to John Jones. Maybe we are looking at the guy who, he's the best that's ever done it. And I don't say that lightly. When you're saying, making statements like that, there's got to be a real, real incredible body of work. And John Bones Jones' body of work is as impressive as anybody out there in the world of mixed martial arts. And, He was a killer on the weekend. He was an assassin, and Jones versus Lesnar is one that would definitely pay money to see. Coming up next, we've got NBA. We've got the New York Knicks and the Cleveland Cavaliers. What is going on with these two franchises? Kyrie Irving, wake up. This is no holds barred. Jones is back. Bones Jones. Great performance on the weekend. Great performance. Good to see him back. Good to see the best of the best do what they do. It's time to segue onto some hoops. The NBA section of today's program here from the No Holds Barred Studios. And our friends in New York, the New York Knicks, what is going on with them now? Well, I'll tell you what's going on with them now. Their 7'3" Latvian superstar, Kristaps Porzingis, has come out and said that, hey, he considers New York home now and he wants to stay in New York. So that got me asking the question, okay, what's going on with Carmelo Anthony? What is happening? Carmelo Anthony wants out of New York. He wants to go to the Houston Rockets. There's absolutely no doubt about that, and I think it's only a matter of time before this takes place. While this is going on, while the Melo fiasco is going on, Porzingis is just taking a step back, which he needed to do. You need to get away from the circus that is New York and the way they run their organization. And I think he's taken a look from the outside and gone, hey, look, Carmelo's going to be shipped out of here without a doubt because they're at loggerheads. He definitely doesn't want to stay there. He's been open about that. He's said that. And I think it's only a matter of time before he ends up in Houston with Harden and Chris Paul, forming a super team there. But Porzingis is playing the smart move here because he's going to be the centerpiece of this franchise, of the Knicks, because they've recruited a bunch of second-rate guys that they're not impact players in the NBA. Hardaway Jr. is not an all-star or he's not a blue-chip A-grade player in the NBA. He's really just a role player, but they're paying him. Paying him A-grade money. That's their mistake. There's no surprise there, the New York Knicks. I mean, they signed Joakim Noah to a ridiculous, I think it was a 3 to 4 year deal, somewhere upwards of $90 million. And, you know, he's done and dusted. There's no doubt about that. He can't stay on the court. He's always injured. He's got way too many miles on the clock. So he's not going to give them any value at all. But Porzingis is taking a look at this and saying, hey, I'm going to be the centerpiece here for the next 10 years in New York. I'm going to be the marquee guy. I'm going to be the number one guy. And I think Porzingis is taking a look at it and going, hey, I can put up 25 points, get 10 rebounds if I've got an appetite for chasing rebounds, get as many touches as I like. This is a good situation for him. And yeah, it is. It is a good situation for him if he wants to just put up numbers, because you are not going to win many games at all for quite a while. The Knicks obviously need to reload here, but they also need to clean house. And they need to send Carmelo to Houston, get that done, get what they can for him. Joakim Noah's done. I don't know what they're going to do with him, because he's going to give them absolutely nothing but a headache and no value at all. He's actually going to just, continue to cash checks for no output whatsoever. And Derrick Rose, we know, has been moved on to the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's joined LeBron for 1 year in Cleveland. So good riddance to Derrick Rose as well. But, for Porzingis, yes, I think they do need to build around him without a doubt, but they need to get Carmelo out of town as quickly as possible so they can reload and they can put some pieces around Porzingis. Positive note for the Knicks, Porzingis, wanting to stay and saying he wants to figure it out there. That's great. concentrate on Porzingis, keep him happy, because he could be a breakout guy over the next 2 to 3 years. There's no telling what he could do in the right situation with the right amount of touches. But you've really got to get Carmelo out of New York, get him to Houston, where he can play there, do the right thing by him. And then you can move on from the entire situation. Now, I think the Knicks, the smart move from the front office of the New York Knicks is just put Porzingis as the number one piece in your offense, in your defense. Work out, his best position and his best role. Give him as many touches as he wants. Let him do his thing. If he wants to be selfish, be selfish, because you really want to see what you got here and the amount of talent that he has and what he can turn out to be. Now, he's really been, with Derrick Rose there, with Carmelo there, he was the third option there. Now, give him the opportunity to be the number one option, put the ball in his hands and see what he can come up with. And then at least know what you're working with. Right now, you really haven't got a clue what you're working with. You know he can hit the outside shot, and he can do bits and pieces here and there, and he's got some skills. But give him 25 to 30 touches, put the ball in his hands, and say, "Righto, big fella, show us what you can do." You know, set some guys up. Shoot the three, attack the rim. I think it's exciting if they play it the right way. But knowing the New York Knicks, somehow they will work out how to mess this up and piss everybody off in the meantime. For Porzingis, yes, give him the ball, let him figure out, how he wants to play and see what numbers he can put up, see what he can do, and then look to get some pieces around him once you know what you got your hands on. Right now, they've got no idea what they've got their hands on, and, they've really got no idea what they're doing, because they are the New York Knicks, and, they are an organization and a franchise that are just absolutely setting all kinds of standards for mediocrity and laughability. They really are. And in saying that, we're going to segue on to the other topic I want to talk to in our NBA section here in the No Holds Barred podcast. And that's our friend Kyrie Irving. He's come out and has said that, yes, we know that he wants to leave the Cleveland Cavaliers and he wants to leave LeBron James, the best player on the planet, and he wants to go and do his own thing because he's selfish and he suffers from the number one pick syndrome, which we spoke about on the last program. All about me, me, me. What about me? I'm not happy getting all the exposure on the planet possible. I'm not happy with having a shoe deal. I'm not happy with going to the NBA Finals every year, riding LeBron's coattails. I'm not happy with playing with one of the best players the game's ever seen. What about me? What about what I need? We all know what Kyrie Irving's all about. And, he's come out just now and has said that he doesn't want to be traded right now because he wants to make sure that he gets moved to the team that he wants to get moved to the correct team. He doesn't want to go somewhere that, is not a very good team. So, once again, Kyrie Irving setting really new marks for absolute stupidity, selfishness, insert every word that is associated with, bad decision-making, call it what you will, but Kyrie Irving wanting to leave the Cleveland Cavaliers and now saying, "I don't want to be traded right now. We need to figure out where I go." Excuse me there. Yes, I have been overcoming a cold over the last couple of days, so I do apologise there. But Kyrie coming out and saying, "Like, let's put a hold on making a move right now. We just need to figure out. I want to go to a good team." Like, does Kyrie not realise that he's on a good team right now? He already is on a good team. The Cleveland Cavaliers, the second best team in the entire National Basketball Association. So what is he talking about? Like, if you want out, you want out. You want to do it all yourself. You want to be the number one guy. You want to have the team build around you. You want to, you know, try and get to the NBA finals with it being all about just you. So what difference does it make whether you go to the New York Knicks or whether you go to the Milwaukee Bucks or, you know, go and play for the Memphis Grizzlies? I mean, you know, these players are just so picky and carry on these days. It's unbelievable. This never used to go on back in the day of Michael Jordan and Magic Johnson during the golden age of basketball, when the league went to record stages of popularity. I mean, these players these days just, you know, crap on with absolute nonsense, and Kyrie Irving is taking it to an all-new level. You said you wanted to be traded, okay? So the Cavs are going to trade you, and now you come out and say, oh, well, hang on, let's put a bit of a hold on it. I don't want to get moved to, an organisation that sucks. Well, you know what? You're already on a winner, Kyrie, where you are in Cleveland with LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're not happy with that. You're not happy with all the exposure that you're getting, or the shoe deal, or the NBA Finals every year, playing next to LeBron, arguably the greatest player and teammate that you could ever want. But it's all about me. And here's another example from Kyrie that he's all about himself. And, you know, if you're the Cleveland Cavaliers organization, you've got to be out of your mind. You have got to be just absolute steam coming out of your ears. And, you know, they've got to get this done. They've got to move Kyrie, because how are LeBron James and Kyrie Irving going to be able to function, you know, during preseason training or during the start of the season with all this soap opera drama and circus act going on? And, you know, Kyrie's looking sillier and sillier as the days tick by. LeBron, how long has he got to carry this city and franchise? Without LeBron James, the Cleveland Cavaliers have been embarrassing. They need to get Kyrie out of town as quickly as possible so they can move on and really salvage what they can salvage out of this. But just the attitude and the massive ego, you know, Kyrie's making a big mistake here. This alpha male, you know, what about me? I want to be the man kind of thing, you know. And it's only special talents that are able to do that. You know, we're talking, you know, Kobe Bryant after the Shaq and Kobe bust up in LA. You know, even then he had a pretty solid supporting cast around him. Pau Gasol, Lamar Odom, Ron Harper, Glenn Rice, Rick Fox. These are some of the Derek Fisher. These are some of the players Kobe had over his career that were there to help. But Kyrie Irving needs to take a good look in the mirror at himself, because he's been reading his press clippings far too often. And it's going to end terribly for him. And I'm going to be sitting in the front row taking pictures, just like everybody else out there, all other NBA fans out there, that understand that this is a big mistake, because LeBron James is a once-in-a-lifetime player. And you're going to walk away from that. Big mistake. You've been listening to No Holds Barred. What a show. What a show today. Plenty going on. Oh, Kyrie Irving, I'm just over it. I'm over his rubbish. He's carrying on like he's got four NBA titles, an MVP, a scoring title. Yeah, he's a great player, but, you know, it doesn't warrant this this alpha male number one pick syndrome attitude. He's taking it to all new levels right now. But I got news for him. He's not Kobe Bryant. He's not Michael Jordan. And he's not LeBron James. So they're the only guys that I think, you know, warrant to be able to show real attitude and ego, because they're transcendent players. They're all timers, baby. Those players are all timers. Kyrie's not, and I think he's making a big, big mistake. But for crying out loud, move him on from Cleveland so we can get on with the program. So everybody can get on with it. Wow. It's been fun. Big show, Friday night. Lights tonight. Geelong and Sydney. Should be a beauty. Check it out. Should be a lot of fun. And how about John Jones? Good to see John Jones back, putting on a show on the weekend, knocking out Cormier. He's a special one. He's a special fighter. In fact, I've got an idea. Why don't we get Kyrie in the ring with John Jones? Now, I'd pay money to see that. Put him in the octagon. Let John Jones run some rings around him. Go to town. We'll see what Irving's got to say then. So it's been a big show. Big, big show here from the No Holds Barred studio. We will be back after the weekend for a full weekend wrap of world sport. This is Jade Kolff at the Kolff Man. You've been listening to No Holds Barred.